Now, more of the Entrepreneur's Edge with your hosts, Mark and Tom.
Hey, it's Mark Imperial. We're really back.
We are back. This is Tom Rebar on the Entrepreneur's Edge on AM 560. We are here with a very special guest today, someone who I've known for quite some time. His name is Jack Picciuta. Jack has been a career professional speaker and trainer on a number of topics. When 9/11 happened here about 9 years ago, Jack turned into becoming the number one murder mystery writer and facilitator in the world. And one of the things that we want to find out is, Jack, how did you go through that transition? Because certainly when 9/11 occurred, there were a lot of speakers running all over the country on planes and airports and hotels. And as we know, when that occurred, a lot of the travel in this country became a lot more difficult. So, Jack, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Tom and Mark.
We are so happy to have you here. Tell us more about how did you get into this business transition?
Well, I could say it was a dark and stormy night, Tom.
That would be way too mysterious, though.
A long time ago, I started writing murder mystery parties for my friends. And this was sort of just a hobby of mine because I'm a games person. I like the gamesmanship of putting facts together, solving the puzzle, trying to get things worked out right.
So this wasn't even what you were speaking about when you were speaker.
Well, you know, when you're in high school, nobody says you're going to grow up and sell murder mystery parties on the internet. It's one of those career paths that just wasn't there when I was in high school.
It wasn't in the book, right?
It just checked off the box. There. But when 9/11 occurred, I was actually on the platform giving an opening address to an association when 9/11 occurred. And when I finished, I was told we were under terrorist attack. Not the best way to finish a presentation. So when that happened, travel stopped. People just didn't do anything for a while. Meetings, of course, were canceled. The whole world changed, and it has still changed because of that. So I had to figure out a way to keep the revenue stream coming. My first thought was people still want the things that I talk about, which are things like negotiations, team building, communications, all of those topics, sales, marketing. But they can't travel to get it now because of the way the world was. So I thought, let's try the internet. And I was a rank amateur at the internet. I had to put some things up there and see if it worked. And this is the ready, fire, aim theory of how you market. Let's just see what's going to work. So I put up the topics that I was talking about, the corporate groups and the associations. And what I found was I had limited success, but there's a way, way, way large marketplace out there, big marketplace of speakers and consultants and people who did the same thing or similar things that I did. So I was competing with a lot of people. And I was a small guy in that whole arena. Then I went to those murder mystery parties that I've been writing for a long time, and I thought, let's try it. So in January of 2003, I put together a website, and I took three of my mystery parties, I made them into PDFs, downloadable digital products, put them on a website, and literally I was learning as I went along, put them on a website and sold them for a nice amount, but not a whole lot, and just to see what would happen. And the first month I did this, now this is not going to sound like a lot right now, but think about this, three mystery parties, novice on the internet, I made $897 the first month.
Hey, that's a lot to somebody that hasn't made their first dollar on the internet.
That's right. And to me, that was an indication that what I was trying to do with all those developmental products wasn't the right direction. The murder mysteries were a lot more attractive to people and had a lot more of a unique niche than the other products I was selling. So I started focusing on the murder mysteries. Now I have a series of websites that sell murder mystery products. I have 22 murder mysteries. I have 19 kids mysteries. And the reason for the kids' mysteries is after I started doing this with the murder mystery parties, I would get requests from parents who would say, I like the idea of a mystery party for my kids, but I don't want a murder.
Mm-hmm.
So I now have 19 mysteries that are non-murder mysteries, and I don't write any of them. Now, the two of you are sitting here with me. You can see that I'm no longer a kid. Hard to believe,
indeed,
I know, right?
Yeah, I'll verify that.
So I don't think like a kid anymore. So what I did was I actually went to the net. I put a couple of ads in college newspapers to find mystery writers for kids, and I ran a contest. And I gave an award to the person that wrote the best kids mystery. Well, now I have a series of kids mystery writers literally around the world. I have one in Vietnam, one in England, one in Australia, and several in the United States who write the kids mysteries for me. I buy the mysteries, put them up on the internet, and sell them worldwide. And the nice thing about the net is it is worldwide. Anybody around the world can download these products right now. That instantaneous product that people get when they decide to do something, that is so important. There's instant gratification. If I have it right now, you don't wait for the mail to arrive. Don't have to worry about all the dynamics of making sure something gets there. It is instantaneous.
And just to clarify this for the listeners, these are not murder mysteries to read as a story. These are how. These are kits.
These are events. And that's what I call them. They're events. That if you want to have an event that night, you invite your friends, you put together all the dynamics of having a good time for the evening, that's what I sell. So it's an event. And I even tell you when to do things, what role everybody has. I have all the clues. I give them 3 pages of instructions. Now, it sounds intimidating, but it says step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4. It talks them through the entire process. Many of my customers will email me back and say it was so easy with that step-by-step process. It took all the pain out of it, all the concern out of it, and it made it a process that we just had it was just a great time, and we didn't have to worry about all the pains that you might anticipate in putting something like this together.
I've identified a couple of takeaways here. One is niching. You've picked a real targeted niche, which probably made it infinitely easier to market.
There are other people out there that do it, but I've expanded that niche, and that's probably something that we should talk about when we come back.
And the second thing that you did was, besides the niching, was you did it for them. You created the kit and made it easier for them to do.
Let's come back in a short minute after the break, and I want to ask Jack about what he's learned from outside the industry and how he's pieced that together to work in his niche. Come back.
You're listening to The Entrepreneur's Edge with your hosts, Mark and Tom.
Hey, we're back. It's Mark Imperial.
This is Tom Rebar, and we are here with Jack Pachuta, who is someone who clearly knows all about shattering the myth that you can't take a passion and build a successful business out of it. Jack, we were talking about all the different facets of your business before the break. One of the questions that we've asked a number of people on the show is, how many competitors are in the industry here? And is that a niche that you can learn a lot from? Or the other side of that question is, what have you learned from outside the industry that you've applied to your business?
Well, as far as the number of competitors, Tom, it has increased. When I started doing this in 2003, there were only 5 or 6 really good mystery sites out there where people could download products or buy the kits via the internet. That has expanded. If you looked up Murder Mystery Event or Murder Mystery Party today, you will see that there are quite a few competitors out there. That means, of course, you have to keep changing. You cannot stay static. You've got to do things differently. One of the things that I found is that if you talk to people who know about the internet but might not be in the exact same business you are, you learn a lot. I have a Monday night group that I meet with. Every Monday night, we get on the phone for 2 hours. Now, we say 2 hours, but we're never on for just 2 hours because inevitably somebody picks a topic and we get on the topic, and before you know it, it's 3 hours and 4 hours and 5 hours. And sometimes, let us just say the sun is coming up sometimes by the time we finish because we just get so involved in it. The people that I have on my group are from coast to coast, literally. One person is in Brooklyn, one person is in Miami, one in Orlando, one in Las Vegas, one in Wasilla, yes, that Wasilla, Alaska, and of course me in my subterranean world headquarters in Cedarburg, Wisconsin, which some people call my basement office. What I find is that we all know the internet, we all have different products, but we have a group that isn't afraid to critique each other and to be honest about what we are doing, and every night when I'm on that call, I get off of it with a new idea. And most of it is because we look at what we're doing right now, and then someone will say, well, what if you did this? What if you tweaked that dial? What if you changed this just a little bit? What would happen? And invariably, you go out and you do it, and you have a new product, you have a new service, you have something new to offer to the marketplace.
So you have a mastermind group that happens to use the telephone as your medium of getting together every week with people who have diverse sets of backgrounds, all understand using internet as a media, but they all have different products and services that they sell.
We are not competitors in the sense that we are trying to get someone else's business. It's not that way at all. What you find is that you don't just have a small pie with lots of little pieces. We bake a bigger pie. And when you have a bigger pie, you can do a lot more things and get a lot more accomplished. And that's how we approach those phone calls.
How did that group get put together, Jack?
Well, it's not just getting on the phone or getting on the internet. I actually met 2 of those people at a meeting here in Chicago a few years ago, and we started talking about the things that we did. We started talking about the internet. Several months after that occurred, one of those people called me and said, hey, we're getting together this group on Monday nights. Every Monday night, we're going to get together and talk about marketing, talk about the internet. Would you like to be part of it? I eagerly said yes, because one of the things that I have found as an entrepreneur on the internet, or any kind of entrepreneur, that sometimes you feel as if you are all alone. I'm in my office and I'm working on things, and if I don't have someone to bounce my ideas off of and some of the new concepts that I want to try, it can get very stale. You need someone that you can talk to and get new ideas from. So I eagerly jumped in, and that's my support.
So the real point we want to make here, and kind of the writer-downer for all the listeners, is that this was not a group of people who just happened to be standing there and we said, hey, you seven, let's get in a group. There was a strategic objective to put this together with some diverse backgrounds, and you didn't want just everybody in your neighborhood or in your subdivision. It was a purposeful built group.
This was a group that got together, first of all, at a meeting of internet marketers. So we were there because we knew that we wanted to be on the internet, and it was a group that had a nice synergy to it. We liked each other, and even though we are coast to coast and many miles apart in many different time zones, we still have a common goal, which is to make ourselves successful on the internet. So that's how it works.
And that's a key point to make on how a group like this can be put together. Jack, give us an idea here. What are some of the other spinoffs that have occurred as a result of writing murder mystery kits for people?
One of the big things is I now do mystery seminars. So I've taken all of my experience as a professional speaker with the communications, team building, the negotiations, and I now stage a mystery. And during that mystery, people do the similar things that they do in the workplace on a daily basis. They have to work together. They have to have common goals. They have to communicate. I take that mystery and I process it into those skills. It is like a case study, but a lot more fun. I tell people in the corporate world that when you do a case study, people think they have to get the right answer. With a murder mystery, they can have fun and still learn something. So that's a big one. I do murder mystery cruises. I do mystery writing boot camps where people can write their own mysteries. I have a separate program for B&Bs who want to stage mysteries. There's a whole variety of products that came off of that core product of the downloadable murder mystery party.
That's a true entrepreneur, huh?
Never sitting still, looking for every opportunity to take the passion, to take the core business of murder mystery and asking yourself the question, how many different ways can I spin this out? How many different ways can I share this with people and make it be a bigger business?
The business doesn't look the same now as it did 5 years ago. He's come full circle, too. He started offline, then online, back to offline.
And I continue to look at other ideas, too, in terms of expanding that.
If someone wanted to get a hold of you, Jack, would there be a way for them to follow up on this conversation and get in touch with you?
Well, Tom, this is Business Edge Radio, so I've set up a separate website to talk about the things that we discussed. It's called jacksbusinessedge.com, or I can be reached in my subterranean world headquarters at 262-377-7230, and I would be happy to talk with anyone about any of the things that we just talked about on this program.
Fantastic.
Jack, thanks for coming in today.
It's been my pleasure.
Continued success.